Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Turnbuckle Trash. I'm Dave Denton. Today, we got a great show for you on the podcast. We're going to be talking to Christopher Evans with Chris on the Mat. We talk about what's going on with Monday Night Raw and that news segment. Not so sure about Raw Underground. We'll talk more about that with Chris. We also are going to have a special guest. Well, kind of, I was a special guest on a radio program talking about the podcast. We'll have that entire segment for you. And then there's a Zane sighting. Yeah, we finally get Zane back. It's all coming up on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
I love video games and pro wrestling.
With three fans who know how to talk some trash.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess it's time to take out the trash.
Turnbuckle Trash, we are back. We are raring to go, and we are sore. Hi, everyone. It's Dave Denton. And I'm still dealing with all the physical therapy on my wrist, which hurts like you know what. And Chris, you've had a couple of little accidents over the last couple of weeks. I hope you're doing well.
Yes, it's the backside that always does well. It's a beautiful day here in Statesville, North Carolina. The sun is shining, and finally the rain has somewhat gone away. But we're going to talk about a debacle. It's called Raw.
Oh. So. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. First off, I've been in touch with Zane. We're going to have a segment with Zane on this very podcast, and he is almost through with his extra work, and hopefully he'll be able to come back and join us soon.
I hear from Zane. It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. And how is Zane doing, by the way?
Oh, he's doing great. Just with all this hot weather, and he works in heating and air conditioning, and people's air conditioners go out, and they, you know, and he lives in an area where it's consistently triple digits or more during the summer. And so he's been very, very busy with extra work and plus his regular work and trying to live his life with his kid and his wife. Man, that guy is so busy right now, but he said things might calm down soon. So we'll hopefully get you and I and he back together very, very soon. So
well, let's hope that is, because I miss all three of us together and we can do the podcast. Zane, we think about you all the time. But we've got a lot to talk about now with Raw, AEW, and everything that's been going on in the world of professional wrestling.
Yes, we do. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's just go with the elephant in the room, and that's Raw Underground. I'm going to compliment the WWE on one thing. Okay, are you ready for this? Me complimenting the WWE, they're trying something different with this Underground. They're trying to do something to get people excited about their product again. But for me, I had to turn it off. I thought it was that bad.
Well, to me, it was like watching that debacle, you know, that they had back in the 90s. What was it? The Brawl for All.
Oh, the Brawl for
that's
All.
That's what it reminded me of, was the Brawl for All. They're doing this MMA. It just doesn't make any sense. Why are you bringing this into professional wrestling now? You have a ring with no ropes, and you're letting these guys do this. And I mean, yeah, I can understand the Viking Raiders. I mean, those boys put on a heck of a show. But I know you don't like it. I can't stand it.
Well,
I think it's a train wreck.
Yeah. Isaiah on our Facebook page, Isaiah, thanks for commenting. Mm-hmm. He liked it. And you know what? And more power to you, Isaiah. Not going to cut you down for that. One of my problems with it was the camera work. Where they, yeah, every time somebody would hit somebody, they'd zoom in, then zoom out, zoom in, zoom out. It gave me a headache. And then having the dancing girls, three girls that obviously could barely dance.
Yep.
And I was going, what is that? And I didn't understand the concept. I I never saw them introduce it. All of a sudden, here comes Shane O'Mac on, hey, we're going to try something different, blah, 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 blah. And then they had these guys going at it, and that big dude from NXT, who's going to be a star one of these days, I'll tell you that. But I didn't understand why they were doing it, except for saying, we're doing something different. Why?
Well, yeah, they can do something different, but why do this? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. This is not what we want to see. We want to see better wrestling and more wrestling than less talk. Now you're giving us this MMA, you know, BS, and we don't want that right there. We don't want this. So, yeah, the ratings just crashed that night, too, for Raw. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that put the nail in the coffin right there.
Well, it's that third hour that just, you know, it needs something. And, you know, once again, I'll compliment them for trying something different. Maybe I don't grasp the concept yet, and they're going to tweak it here and there. But, you know, besides the very end when the Hurt Company comes in with Bobby Lashley, MVP, and Shelton Benjamin, I just didn't get it. You know, I was going, every time they'd switch over to this little segment, I was going, what? What? And then they waited till the third hour. Obvious attempt to make the third hour get better ratings. But, and I'm talking as somebody who's in the broadcast industry here, they did nothing that I could see except for Kevin Owens saying that, you know, Shane O'Mac is back during his little segment. But that, you know, the rest of it, they didn't plug it. They didn't say Shane's going to be here telling us about the new Raw Underground. There was no cohesion. It was just thrown at us, and I just didn't like it. And Isaiah, once again, you know, dude, if you like it, that's better, because we all don't like the same thing. So I appreciate your comments, Isaiah.
Well, yeah, we appreciate everybody's comments, and we're all friends here, and we're trying to keep this, you know, real friendly. But the thing of it is that we, as a whole, some of us are just shaking our head, and some of us are still scratching our heads, wanting to know why. So no, I didn't like the Underground. They could have come up with something different. Maybe, how about you just tone it down, maybe from 3 hours to 2 hours, or just, you know, how about some wrestling instead of talking all the time? How about some new factions that will come in? Now that you've got this new faction that has come in and they've destroyed something by setting it on fire, but that really didn't tell us anything.
Didn't tell us a thing.
Didn't tell us nothing about them. Who could it be? So, yeah, your story writers need to be all fired and sent back to Sesame Street.
Yeah.
So that's all I could say.
So you mentioned about Facebook and how, you know, we're all friends on Turnbuckle Trash. Well, I'm also on another Facebook page. I think it's the Real Wrestling page.
Uh-huh.
And somebody asked about what everybody thought about the what is the segment again? Underground?
Underground,
yeah. And I put in there that, oh, man, I understood what they did. I said something about the third hour. I said I just didn't personally like it, so I guess that's why I have my fast forward, that I can just go through the segment that I don't like. Mm-hmm. Someone got on the page as a rebuttal to me. Mm-hmm. And it first off started off fairly nice, and then it said, then you can die.
Oh, Lord.
What?
Yeah.
And I, you know, I looked up this dude's page. I'm not going to give him the publicity by giving his name. I'm just going to say, this dude professes to be a man of faith.
Well,
I mean, one of his things, he's wearing a faith, not fear. And he's got a really nice cross emblem, you know, hanging from his neck. And he tells me, then you can die?
Yeah, well.
Well, you know what? Maybe you need to go back to church a little bit and learn about loving your fellow man. I've done my Southern preaching for today. Find the word, brothers and sisters.
Here we go. The Reverend has come back at it.
I could not believe that. So anyway,
I can these days. I mean, people. I don't care if you're a religious person or not. I mean, the evilness comes out of everybody now. This what this world is. So you know what? I just don't pay attention to them. And the Real Wrestling community page on Facebook. I got off of that page a long time ago.
Yeah, I might have to do that. So, I mean, That was just idiotic, you know.
There's nothing but trolls on there. That's all.
And the AEW page is just as bad sometimes. But I don't want to talk about AEW right now. I want to go back to Monday Night Raw. And there was some stuff that came out that the Monday Night Raw, when they were getting ready to film it, they were changing their script up to the last minute. And they filmed two Raws at the same time. They were changing their scripting, changing everything they wanted to do up until film time. And I don't comprehend why they would need to change. They've got a full week in between shows to be working, have at least somebody working on storylines and not getting it approved at the last minute. And McMahon on, you know, Vince on Monday afternoon at 5 o'clock, they go on the air at 7 going, I don't like this. We're going to cut this or you're fired. And I don't understand the concept of making all these changes. And then there's mass confusion. But I will say, and Isaiah said this too, that Monday Night Raw itself was not bad. Without the underground, I thought the rest of it, and Isaiah, I agree with you, the rest of it was not bad. They had the Kevin Owens segment on there. I wasn't real thrilled with the Dominic and Seth Rollins, but I mean, that was pretty bad.
That was bad.
Yeah.
That right there was a train wreck.
But I did like Samoa Joe and what he did when he stood up to Seth Rollins.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was good. I was hoping Joe would get in the ring with Dominic and help him out. You know, I think that would be Joe's role right now because he's really good as an announcer. I'll give some more to Joe. He is good. And then he's still in shape enough and close enough to the game that he can make an occasional appearance in the ring, you know, and maybe help. And it was really close, but I'll give them credit on that.
Yeah, I give them credit on that. But like I said, the Dominic and Seth Rollins segment was just, I had to cringe every time I looked and watched that one.
Yeah.
So it was not good at all. But I don't know, Samoa Joe, if they can bring Samoa Joe back. But, I mean, the man's too accident-prone right now as it is.
He gets injured a lot. So maybe his day, I think maybe an occasional appearance in the ring would still do him well. You know, maybe he just gets so mad that he's got to go in and beat somebody's head off because he can do that. I love Samoa Joe, man, so. And then,
Samoa Joe's good. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask you about this Street Profits storyline with Zelina Vega and her guys, and the poisoning of the Street Profits. I don't know if I liked it, but it was clever. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Who could have done it? It's a murder mystery now.
Dum dum dum.
Who? Maybe we'll have Murder She Wrote come in. You know, Angela Lansbury will have to learn how to who did this. But no, I thought it was a good segment.
I didn't dislike it at all because I saw, and I don't know how many people caught on to it like I did because I look for storylines ahead. But when they were doing their little promo in the ring, and he was Montel with his
Montel
his cup, and he took a sip, and he had a really strange look on his face. And I, in my head, I'm going, oh, he just got poisoned. And honestly, that's what I did. And, but, you know, I don't know. Yeah, you know, it works. I'll say it works. You know, I'll give it credit. It worked. And that's going to set up a very nice match, I think, at SummerSlam. I like it.
Yeah, SummerSlam is going to be very interesting this year. I mean, they're still going to do it in the no crowd except for their little individuals that they'll have out there, but it's going to be kind of weird again seeing another pay-per-view with no fans.
You know, Zane and I talk about that in our upcoming segment, and he says it just really bothers him not to have the fans there. And I guess maybe it's that energy that the fans add to a match, you know, with their chants and all that. So,
of course.
So, Monday Night Raw still struggling. Their ratings, especially that third hour, the third hour always drops. And I'll give props once again for trying something different. Isaiah, you liked it. I didn't like it. Chris didn't like it. On the other Facebook pages, it was kind of a mixed bag. And we'll see what they do with it the next time. And maybe with the with my MVP and Shelton Benjamin and Bobby Lashley taking it over, maybe something will come of it that can make sense. So,
Well, with that Bobby Lashley and MVP and Shelton Benjamin, that should have been the new Nation of Domination instead of this other faction they've come up with.
I think they're probably working towards something similar to that, but I don't think they. You know, I wouldn't want to call it the Nation of Domination, especially with the connotations of today in our political climate.
That's true. That is true.
But I did like when Ron Simmons came in a couple of weeks ago and said there's a better way. So it could be very similar to that. And, you know, and I have no problem with it. But I think with today's political climate, it's just not a good idea to call it that. I wouldn't mind.
That's true.
It wouldn't bother me. Okay, let me just say that. I would be all for it personally. I'm just saying, in our climate today, probably not a good idea.
No.
Yeah. So.
Not a bit.
Yeah. Then I got one more thing to ask you about before we get into the AEW. On Friday Night SmackDown, when Bray Wyatt came in to the ring with Alexa Bliss, and he put that mandible claw on her.
Yep.
I liked it. I usually don't like man on women violence, but I liked what it was setting up. Yeah.
Now we see Sister Abigail's coming.
You know, and then they set that up a couple of weeks ago before that Swamp match when Bray Wyatt said he had discovered a way to come back from the dead. Dun, dun, dun. And
so
I love Alexa Bliss in the first place.
Yeah.
I like that storyline, how Braun Strowman's going to be part of it, whether he's going to try to rescue her or if he's going to become another part of the family. I don't know. But at least at this point, I'm digging that storyline.
Well, I liked it because they finally are bringing Alexa Bliss into something of a good storyline. And now you've got the Fiend and her. And as soon as I saw that, I went, yep. Sister Abigail. They're finally doing a Sister Abigail. Whoever's making the storyline up, congratulations, sir. You've got 50,000 points for us and 1 point for the fans. But you got it. You got it. That's a perfect Sister Abigail. Look at that woman.
She is gorgeous.
She is absolutely just fine. Yes.
And you remember when they did the draft several years ago? I think it was on the very first Monday Night Raw draft between Raw and SmackDown. She was the last pick. She was still in NXT, and there were critics there just saying, oh, she'll never amount to nothing because she's barely 5 foot tall. But that girl can wrestle.
But did you hear about the guy that paid her $400 for a date and she blew him off? This is real. This is real because she went on her Twitter account. This is real. This gentleman paid her $400 for a date. She went on Twitter and says, well, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. But I'm seeing somebody right now. But I know that you'll find somebody during this COVID-19. But she kept the money. She kept the money.
I don't blame her. I would have too.
No, honey. You're going to give me my $400 back.
Yeah,
I
bet.
Simple as that. We ain't going that way.
I bet somehow he'll get his money back. So.
Oh, yeah.
That
was kind of funny. $400 for a date with that lady, and she blows you off. But, hey, thanks for the tip.
Thanks for the tip. I'd take it if anybody wants to go on a date for me. I'd stand them up for $400. I'd just put it right out there. I'll stand you up for $400. I'll stand you up for $50.
Just take you to an In-N-Out burger and you get a 4x4. So.
Oh. Yeah. Do you have In-N-Out burgers out there in North Carolina?
No, I wish we did because I keep seeing these people eating these. I watched a guy eat four In-N-Out 4x4 burgers in less than 5 minutes. And I could not believe that this guy had done it, but it was so – they look good. They look really good.
They really are. That's a good line. And we have them here in Utah now, but not in Logan. The closest one we have is in Ogden, so – Anyway, gotcha. I'm talking food once again. So.
Oh, here we go again. Yes,
it always happens. We go again. So we've talked about the WWE, and I want to quickly just also give props to the writers and the performers on NXT. I still think if you had to ask me just the WWE product, I'd rather watch NXT than either one.
Yeah,
I NXT really do.
Yeah, NXT is the hot brand right now. NXT is the one that's got all the good storylines. I mean, look at the champion that they have now. He's good on the mic.
Yes, he is.
He's good, and he's good in the ring. But I'm glad that they're having another tournament for the North American Championship. That's going to be a good one. Hopefully, I don't know who my pick's going to be yet.
I don't know either. But I'm going to go back to Raw for just a little bit. Two things in Raw. When we talked about what we would do to change Raw, remember that conversation you and I had? Things we would. I said tournaments. And now NXT's doing it, and they're getting a lot of publicity. I think it's great storylines. It's also a great way to the great things that happen between wrestlers, and it gets a little excitement than just having a match with this guy for like a month, you know, just going back and forth. I like it. So
then I'm loving it. Go ahead.
Okay, I want to go back one more time to Raw, and I want to. I don't know if I'm going to apologize or I'm going to say I might have been wrong. So, if this is an apology, it's an apology. Remember when Becky became pregnant and she had to basically retire from the sport for a while? They were trying to set up a deal with Shayna Baszler. And then Baszler just goes off TV. And there was all these rumors about how Vince McMahon didn't think she was marketable. And he was just kind of, Well, she's back now, and she's still a bad girl, gets in there, and, I mean, now she's saying she wants to go after the title with Sasha Banks, and she says to Asuka on Monday Night Raw, she says, I'm rooting for you. I really am rooting for you to get that WWE title back in Asuka's waist. And he says, because then I can kick your ass again. I was going, loved finally, that's her character.
Yeah. I loved it. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Good
perfect.
Stuff.
Go ahead.
Good stuff. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to switch gears a little bit to All Elite Wrestling. They've won the last few Wednesday nights. And of course, the wrestling fanboys are out there saying, oh, they have 200,000 more viewers than the other guys. So now this Wednesday Night War is won by AEW. Who cares? Right?
Well, it was
just a couple of weeks ago that NXT was having, you know, 150,000 to 200,000 more viewers than All Elite. So it's going to go back and forth, especially during this crappy time of our lives that we're living at. So I just say enjoy the product.
Well, yeah, you have to enjoy the product. I mean, who cares about the ratings war? It's not really, there's not really a war right now. I mean, they're just doing what they got to do. And that's what AEW's doing. They don't care.
Yeah.
They don't really care about that.
And they make it fun. And I'll give Chris Jericho, I don't know who comes with it. Comes up with the ideas. Maybe it's him. Maybe it's somebody else. Remember when NXT a few weeks ago was beating the AEW broadcast by 100,000 or so every Wednesday night. And then one week, here comes Jericho out, and he's cutting a promo, and he's talking about demographics. And the important demographic is the young adult up to, I think it's 18 to 54, somewhere around in there. That's a pretty wide age group, but AEW does win in that very important demographic. And Chris Jericho starts calling himself the Demo God. I laughed so hard. I was so impressed. It was so cool. So
the Demo God. Oh my gosh! But AEW is doing some good things. I mean, even with their limited, you know, just like WWE with no fans. I mean, but they put on a better product. with the no fans in the arena than NXT or WWE does. I mean, that's what I say.
They're still struggling a little bit. Their women's division has improved tremendously over the, since they started. And now they're, I think they're struggling a little bit with what to do as far as family entertainment and how to keep those hardcore wrestling fans going. My wife is more for the family entertainment. She loves AEW. She loves Chris Jericho. She loves Orange Cassidy. Man, she loves Orange Cassidy. But the last couple of weeks, there's been more blood, more hardcore wrestling. Eddie Kingston, who's now going to be a part of AEW, and I love Eddie Kingston. I just love watching him in the ring. I really do. And a great mic guy. He reminds me of Trevor Murdoch. Remember Trevor Murdoch years ago?
Yep, I remember him.
Okay.
Oh, yes, I remember Trevor.
So now he comes in with his match with Cody and brings out the thumbtacks. My wife didn't like that at all. And then I can't remember with what happened, but there was more hardcore stuff, and there was a little bit of blood. And it was at the end of AEW. My wife says, I might have to stop watching it if they keep on doing this blood. So that there's a fine line that they're trying to go, and how well they'll do that is questionable at this time.
I mean, some of the wrestlers that are bringing in now from NWA and then from the WWE, like Zack Ryder, they kind of screwed that up big time.
Yeah, they did.
With his debut.
Yeah.
That was bad. That was a debacle.
I didn't like
it. I thought it was.
Yeah, I like him. I like him. I like his ring work. I like his personality. I like the way he reacts to the crowd. And then Impact has signed a lot of old WWE stars. One, Eric Young, has been all over social media and podcast talking about how he blamed Vince McMahon for the lack of leadership or being a poor leader over at the WWE for their struggles.
Well, I don't blame him. I mean, look at what they did to Eric Young.
Yeah.
We hardly ever saw him.
Yeah.
We didn't even know he existed.
I mean, and Sanity was such a good faction. I mean,
Sanity was a great Sanity was a great faction, but the problem was is that you have an old man that doesn't know what he's doing anymore. He thinks he's still a part of the wrestling industry, and he's lost in the times. So it's time for Vince to go bye bye.
Well, you've been saying you've been saying that for 8 years now.
He needs to go.
Yeah. So
he needs to go. Go ahead.
So let's move on because I have a telephone call I got to take in a few minutes.
Gotcha. Go ahead.
News came out this week that one, Dwayne The Rock Johnson and some investors have purchased the rights to the XFL. I'm liking it. Because The Rock gives it credibility from the get-go. And he says he's going to be involved, I think, for publicity sakes. And then he's going to have some money people and also some football people with him. And, I mean, right now, if they could get this thing jump-started right away, they would have a domination for TV sports fans. But whether they can do it safely, and put out a good product, I just don't know yet. So I think they're going to wait until sometime next year to put out the new XFL, and I think they should change the name. I think XFL needs to go.
Yeah, I think the XFL needs to go, and it's not really a shock to me that The Rock did this. I mean, he wants to, he's venturing out and doing other things. He has his tequila so he could be sober, non-sober. I think he had too many drinks when he decided to buy this. But I, you know, more power to you, Rock. I mean, you're a great guy. We all, everybody likes you. Some of your political views, I won't go there. But other than that, I give The Rock credit. That's great. Go out there, see if you can get a new product going, see what you can get. But the XFL was a train wreck as soon as they did it the first time, and it was the biggest train wreck when they tried it the second. Now, let's see if you change the name. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. And then The Rock also, I don't know if you've seen the Titan Games on NBC.
I haven't seen one of them yet.
Oh, man. It's so, it is intense. It's fun. It's competition. And they just get regular Joes off the street to do some of these incredible things.
Well, didn't somebody from DC, go ahead.
AEW was there a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
A commentator that does their Spanish broadcast. She was also in NXT, but she had a horrible, horrible injury. I think it was when she tore her Achilles tendon. So she's retired from the ring, and she did great. They have military guys on there that they're tough to beat, some of these military guys. And right now, one of the favorites is a high school teacher in North Carolina.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
He teaches agriculture in a town, I think a school of 200, but he's just, he's country strong. So that's.
Oh, that looks, sounds like fun.
It is a fun show to watch. And The Miz has a show on NBC called Cannonball. It's a water park type competition. It's silly, but it is fun. Mm-hmm. It's just good entertainment. It doesn't have any redeeming social value, but dadgum, I enjoy it. You know, I really do.
Love it.
And now John Cena is getting ready to get back in, not in the ring, but on sci-fi. I think it's going to be one of their late night programs, an animated feature or an animated show where he is the voice of a robot. And he's a sidekick of a superhero in the future.
Sweet. So, well, at least he's doing something. I mean, we can't see him no matter what, so at least he's doing something.
Well, it's better than seeing him on those Experian, and then the cow going, "Bruist."
Yeah.
I just about every time. I hate those commercials. Sorry, John. I'm glad you're making money, but sorry, John.
Yeah, he's making money. I mean, he's not. I guess his in-ring career is finally over with.
Yeah, I think
so. We'll never see him again in the WWE.
Don't say never.
That's true.
Because, that's true. I mean, Vince is going to throw all kinds of money at him to come back for WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to happen. They're going to throw money at him to make an appearance at WrestleMania. If it's not this year, next year. So.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Big time. So.
Anything else from you, my friend?
No, we're still trying to get Michael Calvin onto the podcast here. I've got to work on getting the recording as soon as I can. And me and Michael do a podcast. What we're going to try to do is we were going to go back to the old USWA day. And then how would we as fans book The Undertaker's last match?
Okay, cool.
And so we were going to try to do that. And Mike, I haven't forgot about you. We will do that very soon.
Okay.
Extremely busy.
Hey, you take care of yourself, and especially those couple of little accidents you've had recently. Heal up.
Oh yeah, I'm trying to.
And stay safe. We've had I actually have had some friends recently come down with the COVID-19. And mean, I haven't seen them in a while, but I am friends with them, so I'm not going to mention names, but I will say I wish you the best. And it's pretty serious out there, but. We just got to do what we got to do. Right, Chris?
That's understandable. Yes, we do. Everybody, please put your mask on when you're doing social distancing. And if you're not able to go out, don't go out. Stay indoors. This is nothing to play with right now.
So yeah.
Please, guys. Take care of everybody.
Okay. Right, talk to you later, and take care of yourself, man. Okay?
All right. Have a good one. Bye. We'll see you later.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Always great talking to Christopher Evans. Chris, we wish you the best. And coming up next, I was asked to be on a radio program talking about Turnbuckle Trash. I've been on the show before. You've heard the guys before. We're going to go to For the People in Logan, Utah on 610 KVNU. We'll do that next. Jason Williams will interview me next on Turnbuckle Trash.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Wait for the signal. Wait for it. Let's go.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Right now, though, it's a twofer for us this week. A second time we've had an opportunity to speak with our good friend Dave Denton of Cool 103.9 on Monday. Dave had a chance to speak with organizers of this year's Ride for the Fallen fundraiser. You heard that here on the show on Monday. Right now, Dave is joining us. I'm so excited about this. Dave has a podcast. You can listen to it, and we'll hear more about it from Dave in just a bit via the link I've posted on our Facebook page. The podcast is Turnbuckle Trash. The focus of the podcast podcast is wrestling fun and witty commentary. Every episode's a good time. The most recent episode, though, was amazing. They had a chance to actually talk with USU's Craig Smith about using wrestling as a training tool. I'll let Dave explain. Dave, appreciate you taking some time for us.
Oh, what a rush.
I
love my pro wrestling.
Such an amazing thing to see, because I know how excited you must have been to be able to do this interview, to see pro wrestling used as a training tool for, you know, something as big as college basketball. It's just amazing. How did you get this interview?
Well, I had planned on doing this back. The original plan was to do it right when the pandemic hit. And that's when everything just, as everyone knows, went kind of haywire. But I'd heard something about him using this motivational tool by using this GATA belt, the G-A-T-A belt that we heard about. And it was based on the old tag team, the Road Warriors, which they were, you know, they're Hall of Famers. They're one of a kind. If you've ever seen the Road Warriors, there's nobody else like them. Although Demolition did try it one time, but using professional wrestling to motivate has been used, believe it, more than you probably would guess. A lot of professional basketball teams, football teams will have people like Ric Flair come in and use his, woo, and sometimes when you're watching a game, you'll hear in the background, you hear woo, and the Charlotte Panthers, you can hear that a lot during their football games.
Sure.
And Charlotte, by the way, is just one of the hotbeds in professional wrestling, but it's not that unusual, because what are you doing? You're trying to entertain. You're trying to get your crowd pumped up. You're trying to get your players pumped up. And if you've ever watched professional wrestling, and I realize it's not for everyone, but they do a marvelous job at getting their fans involved like none other. There is nothing like going to a professional wrestling event. It is beyond compare. You will get so pumped up after watching an event live that it's just something. And I love to see Coach Smith, who was a big fan of professional wrestling growing up, using this motivational tool to get his young men to understand what it is to really hustle.
That is, so if you think about this, it kind of highlights a part of professional college, even, you know, high school sports that I've always thought is not discussed enough. But so wrestling's very performative, right? There's a point to, you know, a big show, to a big something that's going to get the crowd on their feet, something that's going to, and then translate that into, you know, a strategic training setting for, say, a college basketball team, where you're saying, you know, okay, this is, we know who's coming, we know who we're playing, we know this, we know that, and so we want to do this to throw them off or to distract them over here. It seems like a perfect fit as a training tool.
It's a motivational tool. It gets people involved with what's going on. Like I told you, and I know that you follow professional wrestling some yourself, just because it's a heck of a lot of fun, as you will agree with me on that.
Well, and to be honest with you, it was the first sport to come back, right?
Yeah, it was. And it really was. And I think if you listen to the podcast, we talk about that a little bit. With the last line of professional wrestling that was taking place, and one of the last professional events was actually in Salt Lake City when the AEW group came in. And they did a performance there, and that was the same night that Rudy Gobert came out that he had the COVID-19 virus. So that was one of the last big events for any major sporting event that happened all over the country, and was right there in Salt Lake City. And just to know how people get involved with their events, It's a lot of fun to know that professional wrestling has worked at still providing the entertainment that people are just wanting so bad right now. And they've been using no crowds or very few people in the stands, usually other professional wrestlers, to give it that live feel. And it's been kind of fun to watch.
That is very cool. So while you're talking with Craig Smith, what did you learn from him as far as how did he get into this?
Well, you know, just like any typical young man that is hanging around with friends, and he said he really wasn't a big fan until he got into high school. Some of his friends were into it, and he started watching it, and he was taken aback by the pomp and circumstance. If you go back to some old YouTube videos and watch the Road Warriors come in to an event, whether they're using the Water Rush or Ozzy Osbourne, Black Sabbath, Iron Man, they come in, paint, mohawks, they're jacked, they got football helmets with spikes on them, and they just have a I don't care attitude, and they're going to beat your, you know, what in, and they often did. But then seeing the crowd reaction to that over-the-top performance, that over-the-top aggressiveness, I think that's why got Coach Smith involved, not trying to put words into his mouth, but it always stuck with him. And then Hulk Hogan, who was over-the-top,
sure,
you know, with his brother, and seeing the prayers and eating the vitamins and all the stuff that he did, it was just a big, important time in a young man's life to see that. And Coach Smith ran with it. He remembered that pomp and circumstance, and he remembered how it got him feeling watching this over-the-top aggression. I think it's a really fun thing for him to talk about.
Hey, it's very cool, and it reinforces something that I know, Dave, you and I have talked about this a lot, but there are those out there, naysayers out there, who refuse to acknowledge wrestling as a sport. This reinforces the fact that it is a sport. This is a sport that they have to train for. This is a sport that is just as competitive as any season of March Madness. Well, way more competitive than this last season of March Madness, to say the least. But it does, it to me, this is just such a natural fit. For listeners, you can hear Dave's full interview with Coach Craig Smith at the Turnbuckle Trash podcast, Dave Denton's wrestling podcast, alongside other highlights of the podcast, interview with wrestler Porter Blake, and he's a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and a special guest in this episode this week, of course, Dave's wife, Teresa, a wonderful woman. You can hear that podcast at the Turnbuckle Trash podcast and the episode with Coach Smith at Cool 103.9. And Dave, this was obviously a fun get for you, and it's a fun episode to listen to. But for listeners out there, tell them a bit about how you plan these episodes and what you focus on with the podcast.
Well, with the main three, and I'll give my props to my partners in crime here, Zane Peterson, who's a Cache Valley native and now lives in South Central Utah. He and I will get on the phone. We'll talk a little bit. We're all constantly texting and messaging each other. And then Christopher Evans, who lives in North Carolina. Now, Chris is actually my second cousin, but he calls me his Uncle David. I've known him since he was born, you know. And we discuss things, and we try not to say that we're wrestling experts, because I've never been between the ropes. I just know as a fan what I like. And then using my background in broadcasting and what little involvement that I've had behind the scenes, and I've had very little, we just approach it as what we like, what we've seen over the years, and what we've experienced. And I think it's really a unique look at professional wrestling from the fans' perspective. Most of the podcasts out there, the most popular ones, are with the wrestlers themselves. And there's just a bunch of other podcasts there where the guys get on and they think that they're experts, and they criticize, and they just tear everything from one ring to another. And, you know, we'll get into some criticisms every once in a while, but we also try to understand what they might be trying to accomplish in the long haul. And we've had some really good responses. We don't have a huge audience, but we don't care about having a huge audience. We just want to have fun with it. And I've also heard that people that don't really like wrestling, they love listening to the podcast because we have so much fun.
Oh, it's a good time, honestly. Listeners, check this out. You can hear the Turnbuckle Trash Wrestling Podcast with Cool 103.9's Dave Denton and this week's episode with Utah State University men's basketball coach Craig Smith talking wrestling as a training tool for basketball players. You can hear that via the Turnbuckle Trash Podcast link at the Cool 103.9 website, cool1039.com. Dave Denton of Cool 103.9, appreciate you taking some time for us today. Listeners, hope you'll stick with us. Jeff Ostermiller leads scientists on a pilot program looking for COVID-19 in our sewers.
Holy bleep!
I was hoping to get Jason on this particular podcast talking about his love of professional wrestling, but we're going to have to do that at another time. So, Jason, I tried to track you down several times for this particular podcast, but you ignored me, so what else is new? No, he was really busy this week. We'll get him on the next podcast if we possibly can. But up next, there's a Zane sighting. Yes, Zane is back.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess I'll just try and take over the world.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
It's a pile of trash.
I can't believe it. I am shocked beyond shocked. I am dismayed upon dismayed because I have finally hooked up with none other than Zane O'Mac. Well, not hooked up with, but we finally got him on the phone. How are you doing, Zane?
Dave, would you also add styling and profiling in with that?
Yeah, I'm styling and profiling. I am the women's pet, the men's regret. I'm too cute. I'm too cute to be pretty, and I am too sweet to be sour. I'm too fat to be where it's at. I am the doctor.
Oh, boy. Sometimes I wonder about you.
I do, too. A lot of people do, brother.
Oh, Dave. By golly, it's been too long, man. You know, why does life have to get in the way of wrestling, man?
It shouldn't, should it? Wrestling should always take priority. But we got to pay bills, brother.
Yeah, I did. I did catch the first half of Extreme Rules. That was really good. I mean, even though it's getting better with, you know, at least they got some of the performers and stuff in the audience and stuff, I still do. Dude, it's just not the same without the crowd and the arena and the noise and the, you know.
The energy level is a lot different, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, the wrestling is still fantastic. They still do a great job. I mean, that women's match was super good.
Wasn't it, though?
It was great.
You saw the Bayley one with Nikki Cross?
Wow. Yeah, it was awesome.
And,
great
you know,
match.
And later in the night with Sasha Banks and Asuka, it was just as good. They was, you know, without them having Extreme Rules, they were two of the highlights of the night.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed it, and I thought that the tag match that started the pay-per-view off was very good as well. And I was a little surprised how good I'm still not a huge Shinsuke fan, but that role with him is a lot better. You know, with he does better in a tag team type of setting or the heel type setting, you know. It's just I do like him a little bit better in that setting, so I'll give him credit. And he put on a good show.
Yeah, and now they're the tag team champions with he and Cesaro. Yes. So
Cesaro just, you know, he is one of those guys that I don't know, he should be at the top. He should be battling for the heavyweight champ, in my opinion. He is so good.
We've been talking about that for years, haven't we?
He is so good.
He is so much fun. And I think I've heard people on some of the Facebook pages say that he can't cut a good promo. Right. He can. Just something from the front office that holds him back a little bit, I think. So
I would agree. Somebody just hasn't quite given him the chance to hold back. But speaking of the front office, there's been quite a bit of scuttlebutt news and
and stuff going on with WWE. I don't know if you saw that Gallows and Anderson signed with Impact.
Uh-huh.
Which, that's kind of cool, I thought.
I thought so, too. You know,
that'll be a real... Go ahead, sorry.
Well, it's Slammiversary. You know, Gallows and Anderson showed up there, but who else showed up? Heath Slater.
Yeah,
EC3. And, I'm trying to think. Eric Young was there. And they've got this big roster of former WWE performers who were vastly underused. And I thought to the detriment of the WWE. And I think that's just a great step for the guys at Impact. I'm very impressed that they went out and got these guys because they got some good ones.
They got some good ones. And I think that good for guys like Gallows and Anderson, Heath Slater and stuff, because, you know, even though they kind of like bide their time in the WWE, got maybe if they were smart with their money, you know, they probably had made pretty good money there. Mm-hmm. You know, I would speculate Gallows and Anderson. I know that last contract they signed was pretty decent. I know it was up for really high six figures.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if they made, say, $500,000 a year and they lived on $100,000, they were able to bank some of that money, they could probably earn a lot better of a situation to go to somewhere like Impact for a smaller salary.
And then the announcement that Gallows and Anderson are kind of doing their own promotion, too, and a wrestling school. They're going to do some indie stuff with their wrestling school, and that's going to be their promotion. And how involved they'll be with that as talent, I don't know, but they're going to be doing that too. So that's good news for them.
Yeah, that's great news for them. I think that's just amazing. Mm-hmm. I think the Impact is going to be something that is really, really going to take over, man. It's going to be something that we're going to have to watch out for.
Well, I hope so, because the more competition you have, you get a better product. And now with AEW doing so well the last couple of weeks, a lot of people are starting to say, oh, they're nipping at the heels of the WWE. And that's all they're doing is nipping at the heels of the WWE. They're still the big guys in the mm-hmm. land. But if you get another person nipping at their heels like Impact, and maybe if NWA can survive their current situation with everything that's going on, and it looks like they will. I think it's just going to be better off for everyone in the long run to have more product out there, more varying types of product. And, you know, it's a great time to be a wrestling fan, as you always say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited. You know, if we can get past all this corona stuff and get things figured out, I mean, you know, that would just be the best, you know. We can get past the corona stuff, and we can get back to the roots of wrestling, and I just can't wait, man. I just can't wait, because I don't know why I kind of the crowd stuff really bothers me, Dave. Like, it's really difficult for me to get in behind it and follow it without the crowd. I know we kind of keep talking about that, but let's talk about it a little more for a second. Does it bother you? Has Chris talked about it?
Yeah.
What are your feelings on that?
Well, you know, personally, I have enjoyed the product, and I understand about the crowd, and I've been trying to just kind of take it as best I can. I think that AEW has done the best job with their crowd. They've always had just a few wrestlers at ringside, and they've had them become part of the story. And I'll just kind of go back a little bit. When Jim Ross and Excalibur could not be there because of travel restrictions, and of course Jim is, you know, he's getting on up there as far as age goes, they had Chris Jericho doing some of the commentary, and he was so great on it. But he would talk about the other wrestlers who were at ringside, and they had their mask on, and they were doing social distancing. And on this past pod that we did, when my wife Teresa was on with us, we talked about Chris. Every time one wrestler would come around, they would see, and he kind of have like a Hawaiian shirt on, and Chris Jericho would call him Pineapple Pete. And then he would say, Pineapple Pete, I hate that guy. And it became part of the storyline as he would talk about Billy Gunn at sideline. Well, he can't go by Badass Billy Gunn anymore. He just goes by Billy because of our thanks to Mr. McMahon. Mm-hmm. But also some of the other wrestlers there, Sonny Kist, and then the guys from The Butcher and The Blade. He would talk about those guys, those wrestlers that were around the ring, and that became more a part of the show. And then they were very active as they came out. Vince went with just almost nobody in the audience for a long time. Then he puts up the hockey plexiglass, and you get the wrestlers that are pounding on the windows and stuff. But the crowd noise isn't quite as like a live crowd. It's more like going to a hockey game.
Yeah.
And I don't like that quite as much. But one more quick thing when you're talking about crowd noise. You know, Major League Baseball opened up their season this past weekend. And you know I'm a baseball fan. I love my Cardinals. And I love to sit down and watch a baseball game and kind of follow it along with the announcers because I love how they go in and out of the, you know, and they make it a story, like a nine-inning story. This past weekend, they were doing that with piped-in crowd noise. And then some teams were actually selling – are putting cardboard cutouts of fans in the seats to make it look like people there. And I think it was on Fox TV. They actually put a special effect in when somebody would hit a long fly ball of people that were sitting in the stands at Wrigley Field. And it looked horrendous. It was the stupidest thing I've ever, you know, it was awful. And then they go to the replay of the same play. And, of course, there was nobody in the stands. And it just took away from the ball game to me. So I'm saying that I wasn't just trying to ignore that there wasn't a crowd there and just trying to get into the action. That was my whole thing about it. So,
well, that's awesome. Well, Dave, I think it's time that we maybe take a quick time out and thank our sponsors. So I'd like to go ahead and do that right now. So. You know, I would like to give a special thanks, big shout out to our sponsors. That's you, Dave Denton, myself, Zane Pearson, Chris Evans. So thanks to our sponsors for making this program happen and making Turnbuckle Trash, you know, one of the best podcasts on professional wrestling. So thanks everyone.
Thank you, Zane. You know, we got deep pockets, don't you?
Yeah, they're deep. There ain't much in them.
and you do know that, I don't know if we've gotten to talk very much since all this has gone on, that we are now on 8 different platforms for Turnbuckle Trash.
That's awesome.
Stitcher, we're on the Google platform. I don't have it all in front of me, but 8 different platforms. And we are going to start growing a little bit. I mean,
that's so
guaranteed.
Awesome.
We get more people out there that get a chance to listen to us. I think that, you know.
Turnbuckle Trash is growing. Now, Turnbuckle Trash can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Breaker, CastBox, Google Podcast, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify, and TuneIn.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
I'm patting ourselves on the back, but I think we have a good product. I really do.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with patting yourself on the back. I complimented you many times in the different opinions and the different characteristics that, you know, you, Chris, myself, our guests bring to the show. I feel is quite enjoyable. You know, even though, and I love the fan perspective on things. So Dave, going back to our fan perspective, there was things like the news and things have been going on, like Gallows and Anderson, they actually said that Paul Heyman was the one that suggested to Vince McMahon that they get cut.
Isn't that amazing?
That's very strange.
Yeah.
You know, there's been quite a bit of scuttlebutt about things going on backstage with WWE and with performers. And I know that there's a lot of people giving them flack for still having shows during this virus stuff. And what are your thoughts on the backstage stuff and the scuttlebutt and the critics and the things like that. Any news, anything you would like to share?
Well, the one thing about Paul Heyman, I don't know the backstage stuff with Gallows and Anderson, but boy, AJ Styles was upset about that. He gets on every opportunity and cuts Paul Heyman a new one, saying that he's a backstabber and that he would tell you stuff to your face and then go behind your back and do something completely different. That's AJ Styles. And AJ Styles has also just came out over this past weekend talking about his days with Impact and how Dixie Carter ruined that promotion. You know, he just basically said to them, no, I'm not re-signing. I don't want to have anything to do with them. That's when he went to New Japan, and that eventually led to his current run at the WWE. So AJ's been flapping his gums a little bit, and he has every right to do that. The one thing about Paul Heyman that I think you're going to be upset about this, and it's not anti-Paul, it's more like more politics behind the scenes, and I think politics in business can ruin just about any business. I mean, if you let it go on too long. Paul Heyman, when he was giving the writing chores for Monday Night Raw, and he was the creative guy, he started giving pushes to Ricochet and to Rich Swann, Cedric Alexander, and then also to Aleister Black. Well, the ratings took a dip, and I think Vince McMahon took too much of that into consideration, not thinking about what was going on in the world with the pandemic and that everybody was taking a hit with viewership on every program. I mean, there was nobody doing well. Mm-hmm. And he took the writing chores and creative for Monday Night Raw from Paul Heyman and gave them to Bruce Prichard. And the ratings are just doing about the same because they have a 3-hour product on Raw that needs to be 2 hours. Mm-hmm. I've said it many times. Now comes word that one of our favorite performers, and I know you love the guy as much as I do, in the ring and as a character, Aleister Black's push evidently is going to stop.
Boy, that's frustrating.
Isn't it, though? Another
good talent squashed by the WWE. You know, I honestly, Dave, I don't wish ill upon the WWE by no means.
No.
But like I said, with these other promotions, you know, AEW has created quite a little bit of a stir in the professional wrestling, you know, business. And, you know, NWA, when they first started out, before some of their little issues and things that were probably not huge issues but got made into bigger issues than they needed to be, you know, NWA was, I mean, everybody was hip and big on NWA.
Right.
For was it like 3 months, Dave? Wow. That was all that was on any professional wrestling website. Anybody that we were talking to, anybody that we were interviewing was saying how NWA was their go-to, and that's what they were going to focus on. And that was very interesting to see the tides turn there for a minute. But then this whole corona thing hit, and it really has hurt some of these smaller promotions. I mean, I know that they'll make it through it. They'll be okay. But people like myself that are huge wrestling fans that can't quite seem to follow things or maybe busy or, you know, trying to take care of things at home, you know, we miss some of these things, and it's not being as talked about online as it was 3 or 4 months ago even. And so I don't know where that leads us, but that's just something that was on my mind and something I wanted to comment about.
Well, I think where it leads us to is how are things going to work after we get through the pandemic? And I don't think that we're halfway through. I honestly don't. I mean, Major League Baseball today, we're watching news while having lunch. The Miami Marlins are having some difficulties with COVID-19. Their season just began. So, and then the NBA, you know, they're playing in Florida in a bubble, and some of the players are revolting, trying to sneak out at night like little children they are. We can't do what we're supposed to do when we get paid millions of dollars. We want to do what we want to do. That's what makes me so mad at them. But, you know, I think when we come out on the other side, and I honestly don't think that's going to be, I don't think it's going to be until next spring. I honestly don't. Because, as my doctor said when I went for my last physical, he said there's going to be some sort of vaccine that will be available probably within 3 to 6 months. And that vaccine, we won't know if it's effective for another 3 months after the first people start getting it. And in between, we still have people meeting, people that are not social distancing. They're getting together. And I know the mask thing is controversial. But it seems to work. If you look at some of the stats that are out there with, like in the state of Utah, when we had our racial difficulties several months ago, about 2 weeks after that, there was a big, huge spike. Then we had a little bit of time where things were calmed down. And then we had more time, like Memorial Day weekend and others, where people were getting together on the weekend and not practicing social distancing and being more reckless. 2 weeks after that, there was another spike. And now we're starting to see a slowdown because there's not a mandate in the state, which I appreciate. I don't think it's state government choice to mandate something like that. I think it's a business decision and a personal decision that more and more people are wearing these masks in social situations. And more people are starting to practice that social distancing in business. I mean, I went to a restaurant today, and I think every person I saw come in had a mask with them. They got to their table with their little party. Everybody was spread out, and then as they got up, they were putting on the mask. I think little things like that make a big difference. But once again, I'm not telling people what to do with the mask. But if we don't try something, it's going to be till next summer before we're over this. And I'm thinking it's going to take us till the spring to really feel comfortable with getting back into our lifestyles that we halfway had before the COVID-19.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, it really has become almost a double-edged sword and quite a controversy because, you know, people still have family things planned and they still want to get out and do activities. And they don't want to sit at home. And like myself, you know, I obviously have to go to work, you know, and I'm in and out of people's houses. And I'll ask the customer, you know, on the phone or, you know, hey, I've got masks, I've got gloves, you know, how would you like me to, you know, and so far I've only had one customer ask me to wear a mask. And I was very respectful to that customer. And, you know, I didn't go in there and be like, screw you, you're taking away my rights. You know, I know we're getting kind of off topic here, but
not really, not really, yeah.
A little bit relevant to what we're talking about because it has affected not just professional wrestling, not just sports. It's affecting everybody's personal lives and it's affecting them to where things like professional wrestling movies and stuff like that are taking quite a large hit because people aren't able to get out and do what, quote, they want to do.
You know, I think, you know what, I'm impressed that you ask the customer and then, you know, you go with what the customer wants. And after all, the customer is always right. And I applaud you for that. But getting kind of back into that swing of things, there's an element of respect that you, let's just say, that you came in contact with something and because you were not wearing a mask and you took that home to your family, your wife and your child, how would you feel if something terrible happened? And I know you have an elderly father. How would you feel if something happened because you didn't want a piece of cloth over your face?
Yeah. And that's, you know, and that's why I feel like we need to be respectful of everybody and honor everybody. It's, I'm not, that's kind of a hard thing, but it not really difficult. Honor, but be respectful towards what people do and what people don't do, and be polite, and, you know, and ask, you know, hey, could you please put on a mask? You know, mm-hmm. I have elderly parents, or, you know what, we're okay in our house. We don't, you know, but to throw a fit in either direction just doesn't work.
And Zane, you and I are pretty close politically, and you know that, you know,
mm-hmm.
but I'm sitting there thinking, wow, I would rather pick a battle that meant more than a piece of cloth.
Yeah.
Yes. Honestly, I would rather fight for something that was more important to me than having a piece of cloth over my nose and mouth. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way I look at it. And I wear a mask when I'm out in public, and I do that, and I think for all the right reasons, but I know that some people don't agree with me. And you know what? I respect their opinion. I just wish that they'd listen to me, know that I'm right.
Yes, Dave. Yes.
Sounds
yes.
like I'm on you social know, media.
It's kind of like, it's kind of like they say, like, you know, Dave, if I wanted your opinion, I'd give it to you.
Right.
So yeah. great segment there, Dave. I love the fact that on Turnbuckle Trash, we can talk about things and be respectful and relate things to professional wrestling and how it is affecting the current situation and not just professional wrestling, but sports in general, mm-hmm. Hollywood, everybody's lives are affected right now.
Everybody's. It's not just the elderly. It's not just the young. It's kids that are going to school here in a few weeks.
Yep.
Are they going to be able to stay in school? I know that one situation in Cache Valley, they're already making plans to say, you know, after like October, we're probably going to start going back yep. to homeschooling, or at least after Thanksgiving. Yep. And I'll just say this one more thing. When it comes to states mandating things, just look at how states have mandated things in the past. And you just can't legislate morality. And that's where the end of it will come for me. You can't legislate morality. You can ask, you can beg, you can educate, but people are going to be stupid one way or the other. They do stupid things because people are stupid. And I will include myself in that. I'm not just talking about people who won't wear a mask. I do stupid things too.
Well, you know, a lot of people would think that we're stupid because we watch professional wrestling.
Yeah, you still get that. Oh, you still watch that stuff? Oh, okay.
That stuff still exists?
Yeah.
Oh.
And, you know, by the way, I wanted to get your comments on the guys at Devotion Championship Wrestling. And now they have got a working relationship with Ohio Valley Wrestling, not just Rocky Mountain Pro. And Al Snow is going to be kind of the head trainer for the Devotion school that Manny opened, but they're going to be using his methods as part of the training, and they're going to be sharing talent. I think that's nothing but good for professional wrestling in the state of Utah.
Oh, dude, that's so rad. You know, they've already got Vince Russo at their helm of writing. I mean,
right?
When was the last time, Dave, that you have been this excited about local professional wrestling?
Boy, it's been a long time.
You know, I so credit Manny for, and I love talking to Manny because he is absolutely brilliant. For somebody to bring somebody like Vince Russo in and the group that he has working there and the talent that he has there, and to be able to go to some other local promotions and pull from their talent pool. You know, he's pulled guys out of FSW out of Las Vegas. He's pulled guys from Rocky Mountain Pro. You know,
Championship Wrestling out of Arizona. They've had some people there too. So.
And even guys, I've seen guys from Championship Wrestling from Hollywood in Salt Lake.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And now to expand further towards the East Coast, where wrestling is more prevalent than the West Coast. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, you can try and debate that, but you know, the South and especially, you know, wrestling has always been a lot bigger and more thought of than, you know, say Vegas or Hollywood or places like that. That's mm-hmm. that's just the sheer fact of life.
Right.
You know? And I think that that's cool, you know, and I would imagine we're going to start seeing devotion guys in other places too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll start seeing devotion guys on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. We'll start seeing them more and more, and not just guys from other promotions coming here, but guys here going there. I just think that that's so cool.
And Manny is quite often at Championship Wrestling from Arizona, and Rekha Tahaka, his wife, is also doing some stuff. And there was a women's promotion, you know, kind of glorifying women's wrestling a couple weekends ago, and there were three or four from Devotion that were there. So it's something that seems to be taking a foothold in entertainment here in the state of Utah, and I think nothing but good things, and wishing nothing but the best. And you know, we're always saying Devotion Championship Wrestling this and all that, but we care about these guys. We're friends with a lot of these guys. A lot of them have been on the air with us with our podcast, and they're just great people.
Well, and quite frankly, without something like that local, it does make our podcast a little less relevant, because let's be honest, we've tried to get WWE guys on, we've tried to get ROH guys on, and you know, we just like Devotion has done, we start small. Mm-hmm. we start with the small companies, and just like them, you're seeing Turnbuckle Trash's listenership going up and up. Mm-hmm. I've noticed trends on our website over the last 3 years that we've started turnbuckletrash.net, every month our hits each year, you know, we started, Dave, and our website was getting only like 15 hits a month.
Mm-hmm.
And we're almost to an average of in between 200 to 300 hits a month. And that's just our website. That's not other platforms that we're available on.
Yeah.
So it's gone from in the last 3 years to 15 people a month listening to Turnbuckle Trash, and now we're well over 300 plus listening to Turnbuckle Trash a month. And, you know, I credit your radio skills and things like that for getting us out there and getting us recognized and using your contacts as well.
And then there's a good rapport that you and I have, and also Chris. And we got to put him in there because, you know, you got to put butts in the seats with Chris, you know. And then I've had several people comment that they like the approach. And I'm not, once again, I feel like Barry Horowitz, you know, patting myself on the back, you know, with that. Remember old Barry Horowitz, the professional wrestler who had the sign of his hand patting himself on the back, or Diamond Dallas Page with the self high five?
Yeah.
But we're not looking to make this a huge podcast. The more people, the better. We just do this, you know, basically for the love of the game, because we're friends and we love talking wrestling.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Dave, you know, some of us are unfortunately on the clock and still have to get back to work.
Okay.
Don't tell anyone, okay? Don't tell my bosses.
We did this at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah. No, you know, they are not wrestling fans, so I don't think there's much to worry about. So, but Dave, it's been a great discussion today. Yeah. Great topics. We covered a huge range in a small amount of time. Right. So, I'll be interested to hear what Chris has to say on these topics and stuff too. So, I'm looking forward to hearing the podcast when it's all done and edited and put out.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
Dave has a podcast.
Oh, what a rush.
I hate that guy.
Wrestling fun and witty commentary.
Oh, here we go again. Yes.
Here we go again. You know, we got deep pockets, don't you?
Yeah, they're deep. There ain't much in them.
And I think it's a train wreck.
I'm looking for COVID-19 in our sewers.
If I wanted your opinion, I'd give it to you. Sometimes I wonder about you.
Who cares?
Well, you know, a lot of people would think we're stupid because we watch professional wrestling.
I've done my southern preaching for today. Find the word, brothers and sisters. Well, it's better than seeing him on those Experian. And then the cow going, bruh.
Yeah.
I just about every time.
But to throw a fit in either direction just doesn't work.
I'm looking for COVID-19 in our sewers.